Hi, this is Luca.
And this is Laura.
And this is the CareerBee Talks podcast,
where we bring you the latest insights from the world of recruiting.
From both sides, the candidate's perspective and the company's perspective.
Let's jump right in. Today I have the big pleasure of interviewing Miguel Mayorga. What is really cool is that Miguel has worked in various top players like Adidas, Apple, Siemens Healthineers, and has always worked as recruiter and talent sourcer. So I think we can learn a lot being a candidate who's currently looking for a job, but we can also learn from him being a company who's currently in the process of finding talents. So I'm super curious to start this conversation. Welcome, Miguel.
Thank you for having me, Laura. Yeah, I'm pleased to speak to you and also share a bit about myself as well as some kind of interesting pieces that could be relevant for talent to know who are currently applying for a role or are interested in a move further down the line.
That sounds awesome. I cannot wait to start. I have some questions prepared for you today. Actually, one question, because if we look at your LinkedIn profile and we scroll down, we will see that you started more in the medical sector and then did a career change into the HR world. So I would be super curious to hear about your motivation.
That's right. I started out as a medical assistant in the field of dialysis. So in a nutshell, life prolonging treatments, taking care of patients at the intersection of technology, so life prolonging treatments, and taking care of their social environment, social stuff. And yeah, that actually shaped me as a person because I had to take care of those patients, but while also working with the technical aspects, administrative tasks that come along with it. So, and that also shaped further aspects with stakeholder management and planning things way ahead, because the patients normally are really focused on themselves, on their medical condition at the moment. And so the medical staff was in charge of taking the stuff behind the curtains most of the time. Yeah, and why I was actually interested in a career change was, I mean, I was always interested in open source intelligence. So basically finding stuff on the internet. And that was my main motivation, always in parallel to what I was doing as a medical staff. But at a certain point in time, I felt that there was not else for me to learn anymore within this kind of field. So I looked up ways how I could develop myself further. And that basically, since I was always doing also a lot of music, I made this kind of shift in finding talent for a big music distribution provider called SpinUp, which was a subsidiary of Universal Music, one of the biggest major record labels out there. And that actually laid the groundwork for my later career. I studied health and care management, which was basically business administration with a lot of social aspects like psychology, communication, project management. So pretty diverse field. And through that time, I also had the chance to, took my next step, which actually manifested my career in talent acquisition. I was in charge of a research project for a big clinic here in South Germany. So I was doing research on intercultural differences for their international nursing staff. And while I conducted this kind of research, I also had the chance to present that in front of the senior leaders of those at the clinic and recommend them certain initiatives they could do to further enhance their acquisition of international nursing staff. And basically, that was the starting point where I made the transition from a medical staff to aim more into the direction of talent acquisition.
Super interesting. And I love that you tell this story because we talk with so many talents that come, you know, from various fields. And this factor, you know, that your career can change over time and you can also learn about your strengths and your interests, and they might also change over time. I really loved seeing such a success story. So thank you so much for taking us along the way on that. But maybe just to point on a little bit of this, you know, changing within the career, taking the next step. When did you know, or how did you always know it was the right time for the next step? What was some indicators for that?
I think the first indicator that it was the right time to leave was actually not so a pleasant one. So back then when I was working as a medical assistant, it's always highly delicate, right, to work with patients. And especially in this sector, which is unfortunately not that highly appreciated, I always felt the pressure from above. The money counts, and at the end of the day, who experiences all those kind of pitfalls is the patients and the medical staff. So I couldn't picture myself working in this field for 20, 30 years. And after a quite unfortunate situation with one of the doctors that I was working with, who was somewhat of entitled to say that I was not encouraged or that I was not allowed to think for myself. That was kind of the turning point where I told myself, no, this is not the area that I want to work at anymore in the future. So maybe look for an area where I'm more appreciated, where I'm allowed to think for myself, and where my actions, where my thoughts could create a long-term impact. And that's where I drove myself, okay, I have to expand my knowledge. That was the first step that I had to do, expand the knowledge in order to transition into other areas where I could, for example, do research or could consult other people on certain practices, markets, for et cetera. And that's actually what I developed throughout my studies, where I had the chance to work for different kind of players. Started out in the insurance sales sector as a talent sourcer. So basically I was tasked with, here's your laptop, here's a license, please bring us in qualified talents. And that's basically when I learned from scratch how to find talents, how to get them attracted to an opportunity, and expanded that to a wide variety of industries.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that experience. I always like asking that because I get really this question a lot, like, should I change job? When do I know it is the right time to change a job? And I tell a similar story, like when it's not, of course, in the same sector, but when I was working for a company, after a while, I realized, like, if I really want to learn and do what I'm fully passionate about, I need to take a step into a different direction. And even though it might be motivated by different reasons, in the end, it's always that you feel it and then you need to take the action, because it ends most of the times in really cool success stories like yours, Miguel. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about your current roles. Why? Because I do know that talents are very curious to hear, what do talent sourcers and recruiters do all the day beyond sending rejections, which I think is something they feel a lot. So if you could take us a little bit through your work.
Thank you. Yeah, basically what recruitment and talent sourcing does is pretty much, close to each other, but still very distinctive roles. In my former career, I was predominantly working within talent sourcing. So that means basically preliminary research on talent market. It's like we have a concrete role for which we need more qualified talent because, for example, the talent pipeline is not sufficient. There are not talents applying for a certain role. So we have to do those kind of heavy lifting and bring them in. So first of all, do the research on the market, who's out there, who with a certain particular skill set, where do they work at currently? For example, also what is their current compensation structure like, and what could their trajectory look afterwards, after they had been with the company for some time, all those kind of indicators to better understand the overall market. And with those kind of insight, this is the first piece that is my day-to-day work, consulting clients, internal clients, stakeholders on the market. And if we have, for example, a concrete role or a role that might be coming up, then look for specific talent that is in line or relevant to the role. And when we have uncovered the information and the talents, then craft a strategy on how to get them on board. Basically, it starts with some kind of like initial outreaches where I check their general interest, if they're currently available to have a conversation, because most of the time people aren't, or they haven't really thought about doing a next step at the moment. But also, on the other hand, sometimes people are really excited to talk about something, even if they haven't specifically listed that on their profile. So that's actually the turning point where I will make them interested about the opportunity. How could that be a benefit for them? Because in my work, I try to bridge the gap between the talents and the opportunity to make the process lean as it can be, to fulfill a great candidate experience so that they have like a new opportunity, a new professional endeavor they can tackle on.
I loved what you just said, because I think in one of the previous episodes, we had a statistic with, sadly, I don't know the exact number, but it was something like, I don't know, like 60% of people would be open for a potential career change, but are not actively looking for jobs. So that's where your job comes in, right? To find those talents that might be interested, reaching out to them. Super cool. Now, thinking about, you know, the talent perspective, we're talking about the company perspective in just a second as well. But just from the talent perspective, when you reach out, like, do you have specific tips for talents on what they can do to get found more easy by, for example, you?
That's actually a pretty valid question. But let me start from the other side first. So what I try to do and get them intrigued, and also what people, or in this case, talents can do in order, to be found in the first place.
Love
so
that.
When I have found them and I want to reach out to them, I try to be concise as I can be, but still insightful enough for them to grasp their interest, and then have it in a personalized form, not too detailed. I will not be showing them the whole job description right away or too many links. I want to have it compact, but still for them to be intriguing enough to reply at first, because that's the main goal when people try to get, like, for example, recruiters, talent sources, to get people intrigued. This message has to be opened. And most of the time, it's also just a subject line that people see from you. And so also this point is highly relevant when reaching out to talent. But on the other hand, what can people do to be found from people like me is to work on your profile, especially on the fields that you can actually write a lot about. So on the one hand, there's the skills section. So any kind of skill that is relevant to your former or current roles, mention that in the profile section. You can use up to 50 skills, if I'm correct. And also, you could also upload your current CV, because that will enrich your LinkedIn profile. And those skills mentioned in the CV will also be attached to your LinkedIn profile at the back end. They won't show up in your public profile, but they will be seen from people who use the LinkedIn recruiter, the sourcing tool on top of the LinkedIn platform. And as I already mentioned, use the job descriptions or the experience section of your profile, where you can list all your roles and especially highlight the key achievements. What I always recommend is here, start with a one-liner. What was the main responsibility? What was the main scope of the role? And then mention in bullet points what you have achieved. And I always like to highlight here, especially like the XYZ formula. So what was the main goal? What was the task that how to achieve this particular goal? And what was the result? Try to be quantitative here on as well, qualitative measures, because that actually gives the people on the other side a better understanding of your seniority, of your former scope and your roles. As well, you could use your about section, because that could give a better understanding of who you are as a person, what kind of motives and principles you have that shape you as a person. And sure, the headline section, as I already mentioned, similar to the subject line, something that people often see as the first thing from you. So don't underestimate it. Use it to your advantage, like mentioning certain focus areas of what you're actually interested in, topics that you talk about. Most of times people just use it in mentioning their current job role in the company, but I think you could use it to a lot more areas what could be relevant and attract other people's interest.
Hi, this is Laura. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you're truly enjoying it. And if I could ask for one little favor from you, it would be that you make sure to follow this podcast and also rate it. This will truly make such a big difference for us here in CareerBee so that we start reaching more people who are looking for a job in Germany and also more companies who are looking for talents. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for the many practical tips. I hope people were writing them all down. If not, you know, go back from the start and start writing it down. I think it was super, super helpful. And we will deep dive into more tips and tricks in just a second. But I do want to still, you know, round this conversation about, you know, your work, your passion up with one last question, because from what you have been telling me, is that through this new work, you found really something where you feel you're doing a good impact. I can see and hear from what we're talking about that you're very passionate about it. And I love that, because to be honest, we also do a lot of active sourcing with CareerBee. And what we encounter a lot is talents after we reach out to them telling us, like, this is the first, you know, message that I actually feel talks to me and doesn't, you know, just sell something. So I felt you were doing exactly the same when you're talking about the strategy first, thinking about who is, you know, the talent that we want to attract. How can I talk to that specific talent? So I wanted to simply ask you, look, what is the thing you enjoy most about this work that makes you feel so passionate?
I mean, from an intrinsic motivation perspective, that I have the opportunity to learn in many ways. First of all, about various roles, functions. That's basically it. But also on the other hand, about people's motives. And that's actually what I particularly use when I reach out to talent. I want to make it about them. It's not about me. It's not about what could be. So I really want to get in. I want to make it about them. I want to make it about what could be interesting for them. So that's why I also use their individual background, dive into what has shaped them over the past, and also use that as a starting point for the initial conversation, because that's also a difference from when it comes to the external research market to the internal in-house sources, because they have different points of view. Both of them are valid, but they have different motives. I can solely focus on the individual's motives, why they could be relevant for a certain role, and totally make it about them. And that's also what happens to them throughout the conversation. I get to know more about their passion, why they have chosen certain areas, where they're currently at, and especially what could make them interested about their potential next move. What kind of aspects have to be there in order for them to be open for a change? And I think that's basically my underlying factor, being curious about something, about people, and practicing that in everyday work, whether it's be my colleagues that I've never worked with or from another region, or as well with the talents that I have the chance to speak to.
I love what you say, and actually also made me reflect. I love the whole part about, you know, putting the human in the center, learning more about a human from all over, you know, different fields, different experiences. But I also like the thing you said very much in the beginning, which is that it also allows you to learn about, you know, different departments or, you know, different types of jobs. And I actually have done this, but I've never reflected on it. But it is super interesting how much you can learn as a talent source or recruiter about so many different jobs out there. And there are plenty of new jobs also coming up. So we're also learning on new things to come. Thank you so much for sharing this. I would now jump a little bit into the company perspective. We've been talking already a little bit about the company perspective, but now I would be very much interested, especially as you've seen various companies and also seen how they work, what would you say are great practices in the area of recruitment that you have experienced or heard of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. From all the various stations that I've been with in the past, from SMEs up to really large, big corporates, I think the ones stood out in their practices, and sometimes they can really vary from department to department, is when they really have the people in their focus. Sometimes, let's just focus on the recruitment area or talent acquisition, even them might have the challenges to balance out the human-centered part as well as with the operational work. But I think the ones that are best in their class, when they have the talent and the candidate in mind, when they make it focused so that we have lean processes, don't stretch it out like for more than 3 steps, 4 steps, because there's no correlation between more steps and having a more sophisticated process. The process just gets stretched out, which is not appealing to anyone, for the people doing this process, the interviewing, as well as with the people that are actually applying for this role. So keeping it concise, making it about them, so that people that are getting interviewed have all the information about the role that's relevant. So the initial calls, really the first interaction, so that the basics are clarified right up front, from flexibility, from compensation. Sure, there are a lot of aspects that are clarified for the talent when the role becomes more concrete, when they have a better understanding about the role. But I think a lot of those aspects can be cleared up front within the initial conversation, because that saves up your time, the people doing the recruitment and sourcing, as well as saves up the time for the candidate on the other side, because that helps the process to be efficient, as well to be human centered.
I love that. And one would think, you know, every company does that. The thing is, not every company is doing it. And that's why I love that you're highlighting this, because this is a good question everyone should be asking themselves when they look at their hiring processes. I also like the fact that we should think about how long does a process really need to be, especially nowadays where you need to put so much effort into attracting talent. Previously, it might have been different when you had the choice of, 50 super good candidates. Now you need to attract every single one almost. So it has changed and you need to adapt that. And I also wanted to add one thing that you've said before. I loved when you explained that you also consult, first of all, in regards to the market. And this, listening to what is happening in the market, I think that's such an important practice, because we still get, many times conversations with companies where I'm just like, I would love to agree with what you're saying. The problem is the market doesn't look like that anymore. And we need to change certain aspects of the requirements you have or the expectations you have. So I also like this aspect as a great best practice, so to say.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you again for highlighting this particular part, because I think it really brings out highly relevant, maybe also underestimated in most of TA recruitment functions nowadays, because they are at the forefront of what's out there, the market. And if they use the data that's available to them and craft a story that's digestible for the business, then they can also shape this whole conversation, because most of the times the business is not really used to how the market is currently looking like. They probably know it better from a business perspective, but from a talent market perspective, most of the times, from speaking from my personal experiences, they're most of the time really far away from that. And I think bridging the gap, helping them understand how the market is looking at and making better decisions and not relying on gut feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. We always try to preach that as well. I really like that. Talking about, you know, market and looking, you know, what the future also brings. Do you see any trends happening in the near future when it comes to recruiting?
That's a pretty complex question, but let's just focus on what happened last year, and especially since, for example, generative AI tools like ChatGPT and many more have been made public, and how that has actually changed us as individuals, companies, but as well the general market. And taking also reports from players like McKinsey, BCG, and so on, what their projections are in regards to how this kind of technology will shape how we interact with each other. So not just in a work life, but in general. And so that used to be, I think it was 2040 at some point in time, but they have scaled it down. So the pace of how we develop technology will become faster. And I think we as human beings are not really, not really trained on adapting that fast. Or let's just have how fast technology is shaped in the eye of the internet. I mean, that's just a glimpse, to be honest. 10, 15 years, we really practice that. And so I think, so having the technology on the one side, I think being aware of what changes in the market is always relevant when it comes to recruiting, because the technology, at least in the last year, has changed tremendously. When it comes to interview scheduling, when it comes to making a candidate experience, we already mentioned that, and making it leaner, and all of that could be automated in some form. But that doesn't mitigate our actual work within talent acquisition or recruitment, because that actually has the opportunity for us to focus more on the quality part, work on sophisticated strategies that help the company, the business, to succeed in scaling up in a more profound way. As I already mentioned, less on gut feeling, aimed at data that's reliable, and execute that with diligence and the human in the center of all what we do. And apart from that, my suggestions or my impressions on what will lie ahead, it's to be honest, it's quite uncertain. But I think if we, as I already mentioned, stay up to date with what's going on in the market from a technology aspect, taking into account how the economy is changing, I think these two aspects already give us a good understanding how the environment is changing. And if we then dive into the skills perspective from an internal, but also from an outsider perspective, we could then craft a strategy that aligns with our goals. Maybe it's upscaling. Maybe it's focusing on a specific product or technology, having those three components in part, the human-centered part, talent market, technology, as well as the overall economy. I think that could help us become more seasoned professionals in our area, talent acquisition, recruitment, and be better advisors to our near peers.
Super interesting. I also think like huge topics, like each one of the things you mentioned. I think we could do a separate podcast, you know, but I love that you brought it together in, you know, a very easy to understand and grasp way. And then of course, we'll need to deep dive into the single elements of it. But just to summarize it for this podcast, I like that how you described it. It is that technology and the fast advancement of it is helping us get the human or make the human experience even better throughout the process and help us make better decisions when it comes to who should we hire at the end of the day. So I think as long as the human stays the center, at least, you know, in this recruiting world, we're not doing anything wrong, and using like the whole technology, I think it's going to make our lives easier and make the experience for candidates much, much better. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe just because we already kind of grasped into the topic of, you know, what technologies are there around? I think one question I receive a lot, I'm curious to hear your opinion on that, is are CVs still scanned by human beings, or are there only machine scanning? Because it's really funny how many emails I receive per week telling me like, is the CV easy to scan by a machine?
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. And I think we can demystify it a bit more. So yes, CVs or PDFs from a resume are still screened by a human being at the end of the day, in most cases. Sure, there are tools available on top of systems that could help finding potential relevant talent easier, but in most cases, at least in the European region, they are not allowed to automatically reject talents. That's required by law, so it's not going to happen. So at the end of the day, when you receive a rejection, there's a human being at the other side of the table who hit the reject button. That's basically it. But for people to better understand this, most of the time when you apply, it lands in the ATS, the applicant tracking system. That's most of the time the mysterious thing that people know. Oh, there's the ATS. It's basically a system that has all the resumes stored from people that apply to a certain role, right? And from those kind of system, also the recruiter or talent store has the ability to search for relevant people, either if they have applied for a direct role or they're still stored within the system. But in most cases, at a certain point in time, they have to delete this information still due to be in compliance with the law, right? Especially in Europe. So that's basically it. I think if we dive into aspects, how to stand out from the crowd, right? I think what I can recommend is it's quite similar to what I also just mentioned about a LinkedIn profile. So having your information concrete, your key achievements in a structured form, right? As well, again, the XYZ formula, what was the main goal? How did you achieve it? And what was the result? Maybe try to frame that in somewhat of in a tangible way, numbers, quantitative measures, if possible. Because every role at the end of the day has a certain goal. Otherwise, they would be relevant and it makes no sense to have them actually on the company, right? So every role has this distinctive role. And if you don't know it yet, then I would advise anyone to reach out to their manager or the person they're directly reporting into and ask for their specific goals, because each of anyone in a specific team has to have their goals aligned to the manager's goals. And so based on that, you can, I think, really nail it down to the key components, what anyone has to deliver at the end of the day. And maybe it's finding relevant talent. And then it would be relevant, okay, what kind of talents have you researched? What was the outcome? How much roles have you impacted with your work? And especially when it comes to speaking in from in-house to external markets, for example, how could your work be an equivalent to the external market and vice versa? And this kind of strategy could be applied to various roles. Just have a good understanding of what is your goal, how to break it down into achievables, and then write it down in a structured format that could be understood from anyone who has never dealt with you or your function before. That's the ultimate goal of a resume and the descriptions.
I love what you just said, because that's, well, everything from, you know, when I did the question until now, that's things we also, of course, through other episodes or in our, for example, the masterclass we tried to teach. But I love to hear it also from, you know, someone who has so much experience in so many different companies. So all to all the talents listening, like, really take notes on this. I loved how you ended it. And I'm just reading a book, which is more, you know, for the management of companies, but it practically says the same thing, that you should always, when you tell a story, create a pitch, always do it first as if you were doing it for a small child. Like, a small child needs to understand what you're doing. And the same is for your CV, you know, create it so that everyone could potentially understand why you fit to that role. Don't assume the recruiter knows more than you think he or she will do. So I love that. And actually, you know, I had two more questions, but I feel you answered them all because I was wondering, you know, about what mistakes to avoid or what are the key takeaways that talent should have. But I think you really brought that to an end. But I still will keep this question there. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned where you're like, this is something that candidates looking for a job in 2024 should really do to land a job faster?
Yeah. Thank you, first of all, for actually having me on this call. And I really would like to take this opportunity to advocate for certain practices, and especially when it comes to applying for a job. I would encourage anyone to not shy away of any role that interests them. I made my progression because, unfortunately, because I was demotivated, but also took it as encouragement because I was generally interested in progressing further. I think this kind of energy that you have when you're interested in a certain topic, use it as your continuous driver when planning out your next step, or when actually executed by applying to a certain role. If you look at a job description and you don't match every requirement that's listed on the box, apply also for it, right? So don't be distracted or demotivated if you don't tick every box that's listed. Sometimes really it's just a fraction that's actually relevant, and the latter can be developed further, especially if you have been working in kind of a similar field before. And the last recommendation that I would give, and that's actually a really personal one, I would encourage everyone to show up as their genuine self. I think if there's one particular thing that I've learned throughout the years when I started out as a medical assistant and transitioned into a talent acquisition professional, that I try to stay true to myself, to my values, to the aspirations that I have, calling things out when it's relevant, when I think there are some unfair practices, and encouraging others to think differently. Because the more you work in a certain field, sometimes you become siloed, and you have your narrowed view. But I think getting in contact with different viewpoints on a continuous basis helps you to develop a more inclusive way on general being a human being, and become more yourself. That's basically it.
What great, you know, lessons and insights for every one of us to take from this episode. Thank you so much, Miguel, for having taken the time to talk with me. And if it's okay with you, I will leave, you know, your LinkedIn profile so that people can just connect with you and get inspired by your story. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're super happy to have you here. And if you are a company who's looking for talents to expand their team, make sure to check out our services at careerbee.de, because there we explain how we help you find top talents much faster. And on the other side, if you're a talent who's currently looking for a job here in Germany, then make sure to also check out our website under careerbee.de/talents, because there you'll discover more about our brand new masterclass, where we really guide you step by step on how to find that dream job of yours. But in either case, you can also just send us a direct email to team@careerbee.de, because we're also super happy to address all your questions directly there. Wishing you a wonderful day.